Hey guys, this is A2Z Podcast. I'm Austin.
And I'm Zach.
It's good to be back. Sorry we're a little late on this one. I took a trip down to Portland, Vancouver area, so it kept me a little bit busy. It's kind of hard to do a podcast while you're driving for 8 hours. So, you know, back better than ever right now. So, glad you're all with us. First up, like usual, I just want to go ahead and touch on how you can find us. The easiest way is iTunes. You just type A to Z, the number 2 in the search bar in iTunes. You hit enter, you scroll down to the podcast section, and we're the only ones under there. You just click on that, you download us, and you're good to go. Another way is to go to our website, and that's a2zpodcastspokane.podomatic.com. Spokane is spelled S-P-O-K-A-N-E. You can find us there. You can download us from there also, but iTunes is just way easier. But whatever floats your boat. Because we are kind of late on this one, we're going to go ahead and sort of merge two of the topics together. We're going to do sort of sports and video games. A lot has happened lately with the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, it was a flurry of stuff happening, and then now there's not a lot going on, and there's kind of a lot of stuff going on in video games too at the same time, so we'll try to keep this podcast short, sweet, and to the point for you guys. We're going to go ahead and jump right into it. First up is the Seahawks, and I guess we'll start with the biggest news right now as we're recording this, and that's the Matt Flynn trade to Oakland has been confirmed, and it looks like we're getting a fifth rounder in 2014, and an undisclosed, you know, pick in 2015, depending on performance or how many times he plays or, you know, whatever happens. So what do you think about all that?
I mean, obviously it's good. We basically just paid a couple $1 million for two picks, extra ones, if you want to look at it like that, considering Matt Flynn didn't even really play. But that does add another need for us. Now we got to go out and find a sizable backup, or maybe they were really just impressed with what's his name? Josh.
Oh yeah, he's not even on the team anymore.
No, he's not. He got released. No. Well, so now we're down to one quarterback. So we'll need a backup, but that's fine, you know. There's been a ton of moves. I mean, I've seen on every platform that ESPN offers, you know, whether it be Sports Nation or NFL Live or any of them, talking about who won the offseason. And it was the Seahawks, which would generally scare you. You know, I mean, a couple years ago, Philadelphia won the offseason, and look how that turned out. But I think it's a little bit different because of how we've done it. We did it with a core base of young players that are still there and then added pieces, while Philadelphia added big-time players at core positions. And I think that kind of was their downfall. But for us, I think it's an excellent move. The Matt Flynn trade was inevitable. It wasn't the destination that I picked. I thought he'd go to Minnesota, but that's a fan trade. And, you know, I think hopefully I wish him the best of luck in Oakland. I think it's a great destination. I don't think that he's going to be beat out by Terrell Pryor, but if maybe they draft Geno Smith at number 3, then he probably will be.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think maybe, you know, that's why they got Flynn, is because they don't believe in any of the quarterbacks this year. So they're just kind of hedging their losses on the quarterback front and just saying, hey, we're going to pick the best player that we think is in this draft, you know. And I have a feeling that it's probably going to end up being a defensive tackle because, you know, they lost like every defensive tackle they had on their roster pretty much. So they really need some help there. I mean, granted, they need help at every position on their team. When you don't have to waste a first-round pick on a quarterback this year because you can get Matt Flynn for, you know, a decent asking price. And I know a lot of people were super disappointed. They're like, you know, John Schneider, he didn't do as well as I thought. And to those people, I say you have completely unrealistic expectations because, for one, he was a 7th-round pick. Matt Flynn was coming out of LSU. And he has, like, 2 starts under his belt. And granted, one was very good. But you're also playing with the Packers, who had arguably the best wide receiver core in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you said, we pretty much just paid some money to get some draft picks. You took a 7th-round draft pick that Green Bay used and turned it into a 5th-rounder next year and, you know, probably close to a 5th or a 4th-rounder the year after that. So I'd say that's pretty good. Taking nothing and turning it into something, so...
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, the way I always like to look at these kind of things is like, they're setting up for years down the road, because 2014 is going to be a terrible year for us. We're going to lose some players. So to have more draft picks in the next 2 years with that, I think is good for us to help bolster our depth and replace some guys that are going to be leaving.
But I absolutely agree.
I mean, Matt Flynn was just an overplayed player for us. I mean, backup. So now that definitely frees up some cap space for us to go out and maybe do an early re-signing of a big-time player to lock him up for a few years, you know. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm happy for Matt Flynn. I mean,
and I totally agree. We're kind of at the stage where we have a lot of good players, and we're not going to be able to pay everybody. So this year is kind of a middle ground year where we still have all of our really young, good players under contract, so we can go out and get some really good old players like we did, and we'll talk about in just a minute. But, you know, in 2014 and 2015, like you said, that's when we're going to start losing players. We won't be able to keep everybody, so we need those extra picks to try to reload, you know? Yeah, so I'm totally fine with not getting anything this draft, you know? I'm okay with that, so.
Plus, the thing that's really interesting as well is, like, with that new CBA and being able to roll over cap, if we can build up some cap this year, and we roll it over to next year, and then have more cap next year, and roll that over, it's only going to help us out. You know, so I'm okay with that. So saving cap and pushing it off, and then we won't have to do a thing like, I mean, Dallas did this year, where they re-signed renegotiated 8 starters' contracts, you know, to get themselves under cap space.
Absolutely, and, you know, kind of continuing on with this cap space thing, we did sign more free agent this year because we do have a lot of cap rollover, so we had some extra money, and I feel that the contracts that we give to the new guys, like Cliff Avril, you know, are really conducive to keeping us competitive in the long run, but making us hyper-competitive right now, you know, and I'm totally okay with a Cliff Avril signing.
Yeah, it's a 2-year prove-it deal for him, and we're going to get him in his prime. What more could you ask? Yeah,
and we needed him bad because Chris Clemens got hurt. Chris Clemens
is coming off an injury. Bruce Irvin, while he did flash some ability, underperformed a little bit. But I still have faith that they'll be able to develop him, you know. And so we needed Cliff Avril. And then on top of that, I think the guy's name is Michael Bennett, right?
Yes. Michael Bennett from Tampa Bay, who can kind of play a little defensive tackle inside on pass rushing downs, but is also more another defensive end.
Yeah, so that's 2 great signings that we signed for 2, like, I think they're both 2-year deals, which is kind of like a prove-it deal, and then they won't be re-signed because there won't be any cap space, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And then hopefully by then we'll have players that are young and in the draft that we're paying nothing, you know?
Yeah, and that was our biggest need, was our defensive line. Now, granted, our defensive tackle spot, our 3 technique spot, is still a little bit bare, but we did have a signing that might, you know, be able to help offset that. And I don't know if you saw, but we signed a guy by the name of Tony McDaniel, and he's a defensive tackle from Miami, and he played college ball in Tennessee, and he was a backup in Miami, but everything that I've read from the guys at, like, the Miami website and stuff was that he was their best backup, and he's just a gamer. I mean, there's a picture out there of when we were at Miami playing them, he had a sack on Russell Wilson, you know? So obviously he did something to impress John Schneider and Pete Carroll to get him to bring him in and then sign him. So while he wasn't starting in Miami, you have to remember that Miami does have 2 very good defensive tackles, and we don't, you know? So while he wasn't starting there, he has a good shot here.
At worst, he's depth for us, which is always kind of a shaky ground in that defensive line because, I mean, remember a couple years ago when Red Bryant went out with an ACL, our run defense just crumbled, you know, because he's such a big part of it. So depth anywhere across the line, I'm in favor of, you know. I'm not going to say a signing, I mean, because we didn't pay him much, so, I mean.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And one thing that I want to sort of point out to everybody listening that, you know, is trying to follow along with the Seahawks offseason and just how our front office kind of works, is that we have needs, and everybody knows, you know, the team's needs, and that's how it is with every team out there. But Pete Carroll and John Schneider, before they go into a draft, they will, in some way, shape, or form, address every need that we have on a team. It might not be a high-profile signing, but they will at least get one player in a position of need before they go into the draft so they don't feel like they have to grab a certain somebody, you know? And so for in the future, like next year when you're looking at the draft, just know that even though we might have a large position of need at you know, the safety spot or something, let's say, that doesn't mean they're going to go in and try to get a safety in the first two rounds because mm-hmm. they'll address it during the offseason. So that's just kind of something I want to point out to everybody because that's just how they operate.
Yeah, and it makes it so in the draft we do my favorite draft strategy, which is just draft the best player available according to your board and how you rank the players. And that's what we did with Bruce Irvin. All the players that they ranked above him were picks, so we had to get to Bruce Irvin. And there was some smoke screen, you know, like Seattle said Green Bay was going to pick him if he was there, or Pittsburgh was going to pick him if they came by. And then Pittsburgh said, no, we're not going to do that. So, you know, like Bruce Irvin was ranked up there with some players because of his elite speed and his elite athleticism. Now, if he develops or not, that's really up to Bruce Irvin. All we can do is pick and then kind of go see how it goes. But a little side tangent on kind of going back to how ranking players or ranking the offseason. You ever watch that show First Take on ESPN? Mm-hmm. It's the worst television show there ever was. It's manufactured headlines. I can't stand Skip Bayless. All he does is contrarian opinions. People say that's what Colin Cowherd does, but at least Colin Cowherd follows through and is articulate and can argue his points. Skip Bayless, just whatever the popular opinion is, he just goes against it. He says that Washington is the best team, like in the NFL. You know, that Washington is the team that is the best chance with a second-year quarterback to win a Super Bowl, but man, Washington, who are they going to cover? Like, they have no secondary. They're pressed up against the cap. They have no first-round draft picks. You know, yeah, like,
I agree. They're in rough shape for the future.
Their star quarterback is an injury-prone guy, and Skip Bayless is, like, in love with Washington and hates Seattle, but it's because Seattle's loved by everyone right now, so he has to go against it, you know?
Yeah.
It just really...
Absolutely, I agree. It's kind of crazy, but, you know, I'm going to hold judgment on this whole free agency mess until the season starts, because like you said, you know, just because you quote win free agency doesn't actually mean anything. You don't get a trophy for that, you know. Mm-hmm. So
the only trophy that matters is the Lombardi at the end of the year, but we'll see how it goes, you know.
Like, yeah, totally. And I trust that it'll work out just fine, but you know, I just don't want to totally have my expectations skyrocket. I mean, they're high right now, and I mean, I totally believe a Super Bowl is within our reach, you know, but I don't want to go super overboard, so, yeah, you know.
Exactly. Well, only the season will tell, and, I mean, we're one injury away from a catastrophic season, just like anybody else, so we'll see. I mean, all we have to look at is what moves we've made. The Percy Harvin deal is huge for our offense. It's going to add a new X factor to it among an already pretty good receiving core that I have a lot of people that I like on it, so we'll see how it goes. But kind of moving a little bit more to your regard to trip in Portland, one of the things you did when you were down here, we went to a Blazers game. It was against the Nets. It was not exactly the most well-played game by the Blazers, but still fun.
Yeah, no, it was a blast. I think, you know, not well-played might be an understatement pertaining to the first quarter, because it was,
I think they got out-rebounded by 30 rebounds or something. It was
but after that, I mean, it was obviously the game was a blowout up until the fourth when all the second strings got put in, and then Portland's second string started coming back, which was very exciting. I mean, it was a blast. But then, you know, the Nets just put their starters back in, and Portland kept their second string in, and I mean, I understand why the coach for Portland did that, but, you know, yeah, you can't expect them to be Moses and part the seas, you know,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, but it was still a good time. I mean, there were some sweet alley-oops and
yeah, no,
like
it was
that.
A great time. I mean, the Rose Garden is an amazing venue, and yeah, our seats were good. We really didn't have any unruly fans around us, aside from that one dude who just, like, wouldn't move for us to get to our seats. He just sat there sprawled out, you know, like, excuse me, our seats are there. Can you stand up for us, you know?
But, I mean, it was a good time. I mean, I would have liked to have seen him win. And Damian Lillard, who's, like, the big-time rookie, and he'll probably win Rookie of the Year, he didn't play particularly great, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, he drained some big threes, but, you know, at the end of the night, he only had, like, 11 points or 9 points or something like that, you know? So, like you said, it wasn't his season average. I think he's averaging close to 20 points a game.
Yeah, I think it's 19 and some change.
Yeah, exactly. So, definitely not up to what he's used to, I think. And we were talking, you know, and they had sort of a road game stretch, and then they were back at home, and it's basketball. It's not as long of a season as baseball, but it definitely still is long. And, you know, as long as you win consistently at home, you'll be fine.
Yeah, and it's something. They're a young team, you know. Like, I talk to a lot of people, and they're like, man, we really need to make a push and make it to the playoffs. That's like, why? So you make it to an 8 seed and get blown out? We've talked about this earlier. We're still one or, if not two, players away from being a contender in the West. And you don't want to rush these things. There's nothing worse than having a young team that overreaches and then succeeds and grabs like a 6th or 7th seed and then gets blown out. And it just sets you back, you know?
Just worry about keeping Damian Lillard happy and LaMarcus Aldridge happy. So that way, when you get that other piece, you can make a playoff run. Because if you don't keep them happy, they're just going to leave you for the Heat or the Celtics or New York or L.A. or something that, you know? So.
Exactly. But kind of moving on, the real reason why he came down here was to build my ultimate gaming PC.
And boy, is it the ultimate right now, dude. It's awesome. I mean, I don't even have words for it, how sweet it is.
It is awesome. I've been wanting a gaming PC for a long time, finally stepped up, shelled out the big bucks. I mean, everything's in place. It's super clean. It runs StarCraft, which is the only game I have right now, immaculately on the ultra settings. I guess I have Star Wars The Old Republic 2, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Well, I know people had problems with StarCraft, you know, some graphics cards, so for some of you, like, these numbers are going to mean absolutely nil, but he's, like you said, he's running on completely ultra settings, the highest everything you can, and he's getting about 120 frames per second.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous, and the videos in it are the best graphics I've ever seen, and it's like over a year old game, you know, so I can't wait to really start putting its paces. I'm really highly considering buying Bioshock Infinite on it, but I'm gonna wait till, you know, I finish StarCraft. I don't want to get too many games going at once, because then I kind of lose, like, how much I can dedicate my time to. And I mean, it just, everything that this computer can do is more than I'll ever need right now. And I'm already looking at maybe getting another graphics card for it so I can two-way SLI, so the graphics are even better on games that are coming out in the next few months, you know?
Yeah, then you'll have to get two more screens and have tri-screens, and then you'll really, you won't have any room in your apartment left after that.
I know, man. But it's just, I mean, it's an amazing gaming computer. And, I mean, StarCraft 2. It's the best RTS out there. Combat RTS, anyways. There's some other ones that are more like, you know, Civilization, which isn't so much...
It's the granddaddy of, you know, its genre, I guess, you know. I mean, Civilization is a great game, too. You know, Red Alert is fun, but, you know, if you're really looking for, like, an RTS to really get into, I mean, StarCraft... you know, it has the community behind it. It has the developers behind it. It's a good all around package. I mean, just a good game.
Plus, the new expansion just came out last month, The Heart of the Swarm. So I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, it is, and it's been getting crazy good reviews. Everybody loves it, and you know, you buy that game, you play through the campaign like you're doing, and you have a good time. But you know, the real bulk of that game is playing online.
Yeah,
and people say with this new Heart of the Swarm expansion that they love it. It really adds a whole new element to the game because it was getting somewhat stale for them after having it been out for so long. And now they're like, man, this expansion really changes it up. So,
yeah, I mean, it just, if you have the means, build yourself a gaming computer, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, honestly, if you have, you know, and it is expensive. It's definitely not console gaming. But if you have $1,000, you can build yourself a super high-end gaming PC, and don't let anybody else tell you any different. I mean, $1,000 is really, like, the threshold. I know you and I, you know, are going to spend a little more than that, but, you know, that's kind of the point where you can start really getting some good stuff is at the $1,000 mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that we'll kind of move that on to your computer, and you are finally starting to buy some parts for it.
Yeah. Our computers are almost identical, you know, more or less. There's a few things here and there. I mean, I'm going to still try to see if I can't find somebody to get me to pick up an i7 from Micro Center somewhere, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I know a bunch of people all over the country, and it's just a matter of, like, sending them a message on Facebook and say, hey, can you do me a solid, you know?
Yeah, and it just depends, because if you could get... Now, if you're not really computer illiterate, like, these are just going to sound, but the Intel core processors, I'm running with the i5, which is more than enough for right now, but their newest one is kind of like the i7, and that's what Austin's talking about. And maybe if you're listening and you live in a major metropolitan area and you want to do Austin here a big solid, maybe send us an email, and maybe you guys can work something out.
Yeah, our email, by the way, is a2zpodcast@gmail.com with the number 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, feel free to email us about anything, you know, even if you want us to talk about anything or whatever. But we'll cover that a little bit more at the end of the show. But, yeah, so I'm trying to get an i7 3770K because it's unlocked. You know, you can overclock it, which Zax is overclocked. I think you overclocked yours to 4.2 gigahertz.
Yeah, 4.2. And it's more than enough. I mean...
Oh, by far. That's... You know,
I think that's kind of like in the overclock scale that I could have selected, like middle of the road.
Yeah, so, middle. You could go higher, but at that point, it's like, why do you want to, frying your CPU?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going to try to get an i7, but I'll probably end up getting the same one as Zach, the i5 3570K. If I get the i7, I'm going to go with the Corsair H100i. Liquid cooled system. It's all in one. It's super easy. It's not like doing a whole liquid cooled setup. So if you're, you know, ever thinking about that, this is super easy. It's totally just bolt on, and you don't have to worry about ever filling it or anything like that. It's super easy. But if I go with the i5, I'll get the same thing as you. I'll get the Hyper 212 Evo from Cooler Master. It's really affordably priced at around $20. You can get it for way less sometimes, and sometimes it's a bit more, but I mean, you know, $20 is pretty much where it's at.
But I mean, I helped you put this computer together. You did like 90% of the work, but it's relatively easy. There's some guessing, just because like I don't have much knowledge when it comes to like circuitry or like how things should go together in electronic loops. So, like, we were kind of like, well, we think this plug goes in here, and then...
Yeah, and the only real guesswork for us was just plugging in, like, the power LEDs and the reset switch, because the motherboard that we have, which is the ASRock Z77 Extreme 4, it just has a bunch of pins, and it is labeled on the board, but it's a little bit confusing, and I don't think the booklet that came with the motherboard was that helpful, to be honest. I think it was rather lacking. But I just hooked it in using my common sense, and it ended up working just fine. So, I mean, in the end, it wasn't that big a deal. But at the time, we were like, well, I hope this works.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't go with the sound card, which I was a little, well, maybe I should. But it ended up being that the tower that I bought, I would guess it kind of just has a built-in sound card, because it has a headphone jack in that then I just plugged in two computer speakers into that then I can control with my volume on my keyboard. So, like, what do I need a sound card for then?
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for super clear, crisp, high definition, if you're watching, like, Blu-rays or something like that, which, I mean, why would you be watching them on your computer when almost everybody has a Blu-ray player or a PlayStation 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but if that's what you're looking for, then I understand. But for, you know, just farting around, it's perfect. So, you know, that's the cooler. I already told you what the motherboard that I'm getting. I'm getting the same one as Zach. It comes with 4 Status 6 gigabyte per second ports and 4 3 seconds, you know. It's all just gibberish, but 4 that can go really fast and 4 that go pretty fast. I got a 3 terabyte hard drive, so I can store all this podcast recording because it takes up a lot of space. You know, the graphics card, we're, you know, twins in that respect. Again, we got the GeForce GTX 670 from EVGA. It's the For the Win edition. It kicks butt. It dominates. I mean, the fan on it alone keeps it nice and cool, as we saw from, you know, running tests on yours and farting around with it and stuff. So, I mean, for the money, it's one of the better cards you can get. I mean, obviously, you'll have flame wars over, oh, no, this is better, no, that is better. It's, if you're not really familiar with the PC world, the flame wars between, like, the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox are sort of the same flame wars between, like, NVIDIA and the Radeon graphics card series. You know, it's sort of the same. Some people are, like, diehard NVIDIA fans, and
it comes down to what you played first with, and then you develop a loyalty.
Like, yeah, you know, exactly.
Like, my first gaming system, I guess that my first one was, like, an NES, but the one that I really developed the most time was a PS1, and right, I've had incredible loyalty to the PlayStation brand.
And I kind of feel the same way. I think a lot of people our age are kind of PlayStation obsessive a little bit. I mean, I know a lot of people do have an Xbox because that was the first, or the Xbox 360 was the first, like, next-gen console to come out, but their heart lies with the PlayStation, and now the kids kind of younger, you know, like my little brother and stuff, they're all like, Xbox! Because
the Xbox 360 was the first one. Well, I think, too, it kind of depends, like, because I think Xbox really has that awesome market in casual gaming. You can buy an Xbox now for $99.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like,
with no hard drive.
But, I mean, it'll get you your foot in the door, you know? Who doesn't have $99? Like, you know, like, if you're interested in gaming, obviously there are people who go through hard times, but, like, if you're at all interested in gaming, that's 2 video games, and you could buy an Xbox, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think they have a market on the casual gaming, but, I mean, for what you can do entertainment-wise, I think just having a Blu-ray player built into the PS3 is awesome. I think you can get a PS3 for, like, $249, right?
Yeah, it is, yep.
So, you know, I think, and that, going back to the computer part, I think that's what it boils down to. It's like, well, did you first play with an EVGA graphics card and had a blast, and it's kind of nostalgic, and now you have brand loyalty to it, you know? Or did you go with NVIDIA? Yeah, that's kind of what I think it boils down to. Because more or less, they're the same, right? Their high-end product is...
Yeah, with the graphics card, you can't really go wrong with either one. I mean, it really just depends on sort of the games that you're playing and whatnot. But in the end, it really doesn't matter. If you're spending $400 on a graphics card, you're going to get a top-notch graphics card. And that's just the end of it, period. That's it, you know? Like, there are certain facts. Like, if you're doing a 3-screen setup, but you want to stick with 1 video card, usually the Radeon series is better than the NVIDIA series. I mean, that's just a fact, you know? And so there's stuff like that, and I think anybody that's going to spend that kind of money on a graphics card is going to do their research first. They're not just going to go in flying blind. Because $400 on 1 part of your computer is a lot to spend. You know, if you're just buying, like, a $50 graphics card, then I understand. You're just, like, at Best Buy, and you're, this one looks good, you know? And that's cool. But when you're spending that kind of money, I would hope you're doing research anyways, you know?
Yeah.
Another game that's on PC, and we've already played a crap ton of it. I mean, we hit the level cap already, like, with multiple characters and stuff.
Yeah.
But now we're thinking about getting back into it because of us having new computers and the new expansion is Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah. The Rise of the Hutt Cartel, I do believe, is what it is called. Yeah, Rise of the Hutt Cartel launches April 14th for Star Wars The Old Republic. I think it's raising the level cap by 5 levels, which, I mean, that's neither here nor there. Some people wanted 10 or whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, the little bit of a level cap increase, everybody's going to hit it relatively soon. That's not what it's about. It's new war zones, new endgame content, and a whole new world, which is this Hutt kind of thingy. That's what is really... the content is what it's about. It's not the level cap increase. I could care less. They could keep 50 for all I care, you know? I mean, it's going to be a little rough at the start, like any MMO is, and I hate people who just automatically doubt Star Wars The Old Republic because the balance wasn't right, or they said we could do something and we couldn't. It's like, no, this is an awesome MMO. I mean, it is a WoW clone, so if you don't like WoW, then maybe you won't like this. Voice acting's awesome. The stories are relatively great for what it is, and I mean, the amount of playtime that we dumped into this was multiple days, if not weeks.
Yeah, it was tons, and it's definitely a good game to play. I mean,
it's free to play now, so if you have any reservations, I mean, I think you can buy it for $40. You aren't going to get the full experience, but you can try it out for free, which is a lot of MMOs are going now. But if me and you get back into it, we'll just pay the $15.
Did you see the release by EA that says the reason why they think they kind of fell on their faces pretty quick after, you know, the release of the game was because they guessed that it would take players about 3 to 4 months to reach and finish the end game material. Mm-hmm. And people were playing on average 40 hours, some people 120 hours a week.
Gee, that's so 120 hours a week. That's like 12, 14. Oh, let me do the math real quick. I think that's probably like 14 hours a day, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, honestly, they hit the level cap so fast and they finished the endgame material so quick and finished all the war zones and operations. There just wasn't anything left for them to do. So they're like, well, we're out of here. See you later.
No way could somebody play 140 hours a week, because that's 20 hours a day.
I don't know. And those are the extreme numbers. Yeah. You got to remember that. They said on average most people were playing 40, but they said in some extreme cases people were playing 120 hours a week. And, I mean, I believe it. Some people are totally hardcore into MMOs, and that's their thing. I mean, when I was at school, there were, like, dudes that would come and sit in the library that weren't even part of the college that I went to and would play WoW all day. Because I would go to school from 8 in the morning till about 10 o'clock at night because I tried to get it all done on just one day. And I would go to the library in between classes, and they would be there before I got to school. So I'd walk past the library, they'd be sitting in there, and they would be there when I was leaving school too, and I would know they were in there all day because I'd be in the library at various times during the day. That's just how intense some people are, you know, playing WoW, and it's...
Yeah, and it's the same thing. I mean, we finished the level cap... I don't know.
It took us about a month and a half.
Yeah, about a month and a half, you know? And at the time, we didn't have internet at our place, so we were mooching off other people's internet. So we didn't actually get to play it as much as we probably would have if we had, you know, high speed.
We played like 4 days out of the week or something like that, you know?
Yeah, probably something like that. And we got to the level cap. I mean, just the PvP in it, it has one of the best PvP games around, to me anyways, which is Hutball.
Hutball. I thought Hutball was fantastically fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a cheesy sports ripoff game enforced into this MMO, and it sounds terrible, but it's fun. I mean,
it worked. It worked awesomely, I thought.
There's something awesome about when you have a guy that's running on the catwalks, and he's running into the fire trap, and you stasis him, and he freezes, and then the flame shoots up, and it kills him, and... It's just entertaining.
Now my one complaint about the war zones was leveling all the way up before you got to level 50 was awesome. It was so much fun because you got to play with varying levels and stuff.
But once you got to
50, it was just super tough for a new 50 to compete with all the geared 50s.
Yeah.
You know, it was really frustrating that they didn't have something to kind of... Easy help you along it. A little bit.
But I think that's kind of our fault too, because we went right into the PvP aspect of endgame, and we kind of neglected the raiding part of endgame, you know, because we weren't in a very good guild with a lot of good 50s to do some of like the war, or what are they called, operations.
Yeah, but at the same time, I didn't think they had a very good system to get groups together to perform the operations,
and
so I think
has,
they should have
that
helped
actually,
cater to people.
That problem has actually been fixed. They've added a whole new search function for people in this. I think it's already been implemented, but it is a whole new way to search the people on the server to find people that match your level or whatever to help you do these operations.
And that's great now, you know, and that's awesome. But, you know, back when we were playing, we didn't have that, and so it was, I thought, kind of a pain to have to compete, but it's neither here nor there, and, you know, it's not going to stop me from playing the game because I still had a ton of fun playing it, so I definitely see myself getting back into it.
Oh, definitely. And maybe with this new expansion, we'll start putting some more hours back into it, and we'll both be working, so it'll be tough, but we'll see kind of what's going on. And maybe that's a future what you've been playing, but what we've been playing now these last couple weeks is actually we've delved back into an online dynasty from NCAA 12, which is now, I think, 2 years removed.
Yeah, it's a bit old, but we already had a dynasty going at one point before we moved to a house where we had no internet at, so we decided to get back in it. And, I mean, honestly, the differences between one NCAA and the other isn't really that much gameplay-wise. I think their biggest changes come in the form of, like, recruiting and the coaching carousel and stuff like that, but I mean, we're having a blast. It's fun. I'm Southern Miss, and you're Eastern Washington, and
yeah, and it's polar opposites, and you know, just the recruiting. It's just, I mean, it's a good time. It's, I think, out of all sports games, NCAA is the best sports game.
Yeah, I think for sure.
I mean, if you're all a relative football fan, even if you're not a college football fan, it's better than Madden. Hands down.
Oh yeah, for as far as football simulators go, it's the best on the market. When you start comparing it to other sports games, I mean, NHL is also ridiculously fun. It is a really well done game, you know. And NCAA, those are probably my two favorite sports games. And then third is, you know, the basketball games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I really enjoy the basketball games. You know, like I always like doing the my player thing and then being a point guard and just getting like 17 assists a game, you know, it's fun. But there's something like, I play at least one season every year in hockey, which is a ridiculous amount of time to dump into a game, because you got to play every game start to finish, and that's 60 minute periods. And even if you're simming the time that you're not on the ice, each game takes like a half an hour. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of time. And then once you're done with the regular season, the playoffs is forever. So,
yeah, exactly. So, that's what we've been playing lately. It's been a blast. We're going to keep on playing it probably for a while. I mean, we're enjoying ourselves. We just made it through like our third season, I think, pretty much. We're right at the end of it. I almost made it to the national championship. I lost on a 40-yard field goal because my kicker didn't have enough leg to make it. So, I didn't get to go to the national championship this year.
Somebody's getting cut.
Yeah, and I'm kicking this dude, revoking his scholarship. I don't care. I'm going to find some crappy 100-rank kicker, and he's going to be even worse than my guy, but I don't care. You don't miss field goals to the national championship. But, yeah.
And then once you get your computer built, we'll definitely be doing a lot more what you've been playing with, like, some computer games.
Yeah, for sure. And if you listen to our show, you know, because we don't really know who's out there listening or what you guys are into or anything like that. I mean, if you listen to our show and you like it and you come back, if you go ahead and shoot us an email and just let us know what you're kind of into and what your thoughts are. Like I said, that's a2zpodcast@gmail.com with the number 2. That'd be awesome, you know, because we can see, you know, how many people are downloading it, but we can't see, you know, where you live or what you're into or anything like that. So it would definitely help us out, so we kind of know maybe we should gravitate more towards this than that to keep you interested. So we would definitely really appreciate that.
Yeah. And next week is going to be a movie podcast and some TV shows, and it's going to be a doozy because we've been watching a ton of movies. So get ready for that one. We kind of kept this one short. Didn't want to drag it on too long because of the missed week episode last week. So, kind of wrap it up. You got anything you're looking forward to coming out soon in the world of video games?
I'm just looking forward to getting my PC parts shipped to my house and getting the show on the road, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And one actually last thing about putting together the PC. I was pleasantly surprised on how well everything fit together. I mean, the hard drive literally snapped into place and slid right into the front of my tower. Same with my DVD driver. And then, I mean, there was a little bit of a problem with how the motherboard sat in the tower, but I think maybe we just misread directions or something, you know, about where it's supposed to sit. But it ended up working. The ports in the back fit perfectly together. Everything just, like we were talking earlier, whoever said that quote about it's just playing with really expensive Legos was pretty much right, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it helps when you buy quality parts. I mean, when you have a good case, it makes everything go smoothly. If you cheap out on the case, you're going to feel it in the end when you have to run a bunch of cables and stuff like that. So if you're interested in buying a PC, just remember that. Don't skimp out on the case. You don't have to go super expensive, but just go with quality.
Yeah. Cooler Master is pretty much really great, so.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. But on that note, we appreciate you guys listening. It means a lot to us. Thanks for your time. I'm A.
And I'm Z.
And we'll see you guys later.
See ya.